for those who can't, we pray that they'd be able to listen in online or tune in. And we pray for the weather and that you guide us and have safety on the roads, Lord. We pray for Pastor as he brings us the message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Well, good evening. Good to see each of you here tonight. And I want to welcome you. This is our evening service here at Morrow Bible Church. Just in case anybody has forgotten about that, that's where we are. That's what we're doing here tonight. And it's good to be here with you. I want to welcome anybody who might be here with us online or watching later. Thank you for joining us. Glad you're able to do that. We will have a time for testimonies here in a few moments. So be thinking about that. If there's something that you would like to share, that would be an answer to prayer or a prayer request maybe, or a scripture you'd like to share, we'll open it up in a few moments. Anna is our mic runner tonight, and so we do have that mic just to help everybody to hear you okay. We're using that. For our announcements here, we have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Just want to invite you to come out and pray. We believe that's an important time, an important ministry that we can have together. And so come here if you're able to in person. Again, we have been utilizing the phone for some people over the past several months. And that seems like it does work and is kind of a way to include some other folks. And so if anybody would like to do that, just let me know. And or even if you'd like to listen in and just kind of see how it works first before, you know, participating, that would be fine as well. But that's an option too. Thursday, we're planning some evangelism time in our community around the church, and still continuing with that. And then next Sunday at 6:30, we're having the Plymouth Plantation Dinner and our Thanksgiving service. The dinner will be served at the 6:30 time, our usual evening service time, and it'll be in the church foyer, be followed by a time of praise and testimony also in the foyer. We're going to have the young people, the children, as the Pilgrims and Indians, they're going to help serve. And so that is the plan for that. So I want to invite all of you to be here. Don't have to bring anything. Just be here, and we'll have that fellowship together. December 4th, Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon, ladies are invited for fellowship together while decorating the church for Christmas. December 4th and December 17th is the day we're planning for Christmas caroling. We are planning to go out into the elements and actually go out and carol this year. Last year we did it by phone, but it seems like we could probably do it all right. Stay far enough away from people, you know, I think we'll be okay. December 17th, 17th, that's a Friday night. And then our thank offering this year is being received over the next several weeks. This year, that offering will be put towards the replacement of the foyer furnace. The approximate cost on that is $4,000. And that furnace went out a couple weeks ago. And so that's a need. It's been replaced this past week, so we do have some heat there. So that's what the offering will go towards. But this is an offering, just that's another expression of thanks that we can give to the Lord. And I just encourage you to pray about what you might be able to do about that offering. You can designate that by using the special offering envelopes above the offering box. Those are available, or clearly mark a gift in some way for the thank offering. We will also have a time for Thanksgiving testimonies after the dinner next Sunday night. And everybody's encouraged to share a testimony of thanks to the Lord, Thanksgiving. We
also have a worksheet there for the children or even the adults if you want to fill that out yourself. You know, that might help you to think about some things. So that's out there in the foyer. And then pre-recorded testimonies may also be done over the phone. So you can do it that way, especially for those folks who may not be able to come out. Last year we had a pre-recorded segment of our testimonies. And so I'm going to try to see if anybody would like to do that this week over the phone. Maybe be able to hear from some of our folks that way with those greetings or testimonies. All right, I think that's all the announcements that I have so far. We do thank the Lord for the furnace they were able to get. MG Energy, there it's out of Mansfield, and Dan is one of the supervisors, managers for that company, and he was able to get a furnace, which he said we were fortunate, lucky, blessed to be able to get one. The way the supply chain is going right now, it's harder to get parts and equipment, but we were able to get that, and they were able to install that this week. And so the furnace that we have here in the sanctuary side and basement is still running. It is still putting out heat, even though it's older, 30 years old, I think, or more. And but they don't make them like they used to. So maybe that's why we're still able to use the old one here. And pray that it keeps running. And we're able to keep using that. All right. We'll, I guess, open it up for testimonies here or favorites. You can pick a favorite. We'll try to sing it as long as you try to sing it as well. Any favorites or testimonies tonight? Anybody want to be first? Well, we will open the floor to you. And Anna, get ready. Are you ready? Okay. She's got the mic. She's ready. Just need somebody to... Okay, Mr. Reynard, is that a testimony?
Yes.
Okay. Got to go back there. Just one moment while we get the mic over to you.
Thank you, honey. Well, I'd like to thank the Lord for all your prayers that you've had for me through the weeks and the months and with the health issues that I've had. And don't give up on me. I still need your prayers. I still like to rebel every now and then, so you want to keep me in your prayers. But I do thank the Lord for our church family that we have, that we can pray for one another, that the Lord has allowed us to be here and to fellowship and to work together shoulder to shoulder. And it's been a blessing through the years. And I was watching some of the heroes that they were portraying on TV, the veterans, over this weekend, and it brought back old memories, but it also let me know that there was still hope in our country and hope that God would turn it around. And that's what my prayer is that we can do more to be a witness for Him in this day and age, the way things are going in this chaotic, dark world. And I want to thank also the ladies' ministry about the basket that I've received. I haven't eaten everything yet, but since you know I'm not a cook, that can is the hardest thing I think I'm going to have a problem with. So just pray for me. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Appreciate the veterans. This week was Veterans Day. Now we have a number of veterans in our church, Mr. Reynard being one, Mr. Miller being another one, and there are a couple more, I know, Mr. Ray, Mr. Robinson, Don Owen, Bob Ogden, Jeff Stout.
Pat was too.
And so we have a number of veterans in our church. So we praise the Lord for those that have served in our United States Armed Forces. All right. Anybody else tonight with a favorite or a testimony? Okay. Pastor Gossman. Get the mic over to him.
Thank you. We thank the Lord for His provision. Of course, we all know that COVID's been a nasty thing for various ones to go through, and the Lord brought my wife and I through that, and we thank the Lord for that, for His strength. We've seen the Lord's provision here. Then this week, we heard that my younger sister, Nadine, had the COVID and really wasn't doing too well, and they weren't able to find the medication that she needed, and the Lord provided that actually locally here, and so on Tuesday we went up to her place, and she lives alone, and so we were able to be there to be of help to her until we come back yesterday. And we just thank the Lord for the strength that He's given her, and she seems like she's at this point it would appear to pass anything that's severe. It'll take her a while to recover, but we just thank the Lord for His provision for that. So.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Anybody else tonight, Mr. Lewis? Take it back there to Mr. Lewis. Just one moment. You got to take the mic over there.
Thank you. Talking about the veterans, I didn't serve, but my dad did, and Debbie's dad, and my grandpa. He was an old coal miner in West Virginia. He served in World War I, and he gave his life up for our country. Mom would always say that when he left, Mom was only 5 years old, and he never came back. He was in a foxhole and a bomb went off, and didn't kill him, but it shattered his brain, and he sort of damaged his brain, and he couldn't hear, and he didn't know anything, and he spent the rest of his life in the veterans hospital. And I remember going down there as a family, I was just a child, and he didn't know my mom. And maybe toward the end there, she kind of thinks maybe he did. But I don't know how old my grandpa was when he went off to war, but it couldn't have been too old. But my mom was 5 years old, and last time she seemed like she was. And so I'm just proud of my grandpa.
Amen. All right. Anybody else tonight? Testimony or a favorite? Jenny?
Yeah, I just thank the Lord for bringing my dad through his heart surgery last Tuesday, and thank the Lord for all of for Dr. Toon and all the nurses that took care of him. He was number 2,144 heart patient of this doctor. So just thank the Lord for modern medical technology, and he was able to go home today. Thankful for his faith too. I was reading this week, we're not supposed to fear men that can kill our bodies. I was thinking about the doctor making a mistake or something, but fear the Lord. Who can determine where we spend eternity. So I was just thankful for my dad's faith, too, during this time. And thank you all for praying for him.
Okay, thank you. All right. Somebody back here? Okay, Mrs. Margaret. Okay, I'm going to sing.
Sing hymn number 532. God of our fathers, and let's stand.
Else with the testimony tonight? Yeah, okay, Mr. Margrath.
It's been kind of a little bit of a struggle going up to my mom's two or three times a week, and my brother Chris and myself are trying to clean out her house. And my mom's youngest brother and his wife are helping us. So I'm just very, very thankful that we have the help that we have. My mom had a lot of things, and as she got older, she wasn't able to take care of the house as much, and there's a lot of things to do, so I'm just thankful that we do have some help. And yesterday, after we got done, and we took a little break, my uncle and his wife left, and then my brother Chris and I had a really long talk, and I'm just so thankful that he shares the Lord Jesus Christ, and that seems to be his thrust in these later years. And I'm thankful that he's come to believe in him and trust him and put all of his trust in him. And so we had a really nice talk a talk that we wouldn't have had 2 or 3 years ago. And so I'm very, very thankful for that. And we continue to need prayer, especially with my brother Andy. There's a lot of conflict there, so thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, anyone else tonight? Another one, okay. Yeah. Follow up?
Becky's not going to say it, and I guess Grandma Shirley's not going to say it, but we got a chance to visit Bonnie Counts today. And Bonnie Counts is over 100 years old. She's, I don't know when she's going to be, 101 April. So she's a sweet old soul. And I'm very, very fortunate to have been invited to her house. And Shirley fixed a lunch for us, and we took some things. And so Barb and Randy was there, and Becky's cousin, and me and Becky. And so we just really had a nice visit with her, and we thank the Lord for her longevity and also her testimony. I got to talk to her today, and I'm, without question, she's a believer. And so I know she's a believer in the Lord, and she has a great testimony with her and her family.
Amen. All right. Anyone else tonight? Any other testimonies? I guess a prayer request. I guess I'll call it an unspoken request. Stephanie Murfield, just pray for Stephanie and her family. Unspoken. It was good to have the Davises here this morning. They're from Bible Community Church. And I guess prayer request for that church as well, as they're without a pastor. And so they said they have a couple men that are kind of rotating, filling the pulpit right now there, and so just pray for the church. And they have a Christian school, which has gotten larger here this year, but they're without a pastor, so pray for the church there. All right. Anyone else tonight? Other testimonies? Any other favorite? Any other favorite? Mrs. Gosford. Okay. Do that one, 300.
Sing hymn number 300. More secure is no one ever, and let's stand.
Thank you.
All right, we'll go ahead with the message here, and I'm going to use the screen again tonight. So I'll pull that down first. Okay, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Can you fire that up for us? Take a minute here to turn on. But 1 Samuel chapter 3, we were in 2 Samuel last week. And we saw the corrupt worship that was there at Shiloh. Eli was the high priest, and Samuel, the boy Samuel, was there serving in the tabernacle at Shiloh. All the while, this corrupt worship was going on. And the sin involved in that was the selfishness and greed demonstrated by Eli's sons with the sacrifices. You remember they were demanding more than their portion out of the sacrifice, and even the some of the raw meat with the fat. And yet, we saw the faithfulness of Samuel and his family still coming to Shiloh to worship. They didn't let the failures of other people, stop their worship. They still devoted their worship to the Lord in that case. Then Eli, we saw that he tried to rebuke his sons when he got reports of their immorality, but it was too little, too late. And their sin was just stubbornly entrenched, and they didn't listen. And so we saw that God had sent a man of God, an unnamed man of God, with a message for Eli. He confronted Eli with his idolatry, It was family idolatry. And in chapter 2, verse 29, the prophet says, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in mine habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people." There is such a thing as family idolatry. We got to get all our priorities sorted out, I know, in life, and we have responsibility to our family, but we can make our family an idol, too. And that's what Eli was doing. God says to him, "You're honoring your sons above me in what you're doing. That's not right." And so the prophet warned Eli of the coming judgment of the Lord. Eli's family would be affected. And God would basically remove the privilege from Eli's family. And another line of Aaron would take over the high priest responsibility. And so God had warned this. Then we come to chapter 3 here. And this brings us to Samuel's first vision. This is Samuel's first vision here in chapter 3. That's what we're going to look at tonight. And start off, first of all, with the situation at the first vision. And look at chapter 3, verse 1. Verses 1 through 3, we see the situation at the first vision. "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here am I.'" So we see the situation at this first vision of Samuel. Samuel ministering at Shiloh. We looked at that a little bit last week, all the things that maybe Samuel could have done, even as a boy. Helping out with Eli, opening doors, carrying things from place to place. He was ministering there at the tabernacle. And we're also told that the word of the Lord was precious. There was no open vision. In other words, it was a rare thing to hear from the Lord during this time. There was no public revelation, no open vision. Perhaps there may have been some private revelations to various ones. We heard about this prophet, this anonymous man of God who had this message from God to Eli, but no open vision, no public revelation. And then we see that Eli is in decline. In verse 2, it says that his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. So Eli's the high priest, and it seems that he's getting older, and it seems that he is not going to be serving that much longer. And then we see the time seems to be evening at the tabernacle. Ere the lamp of God went out. The situation or the place seems to be inside the tabernacle there. We know the candlestick of the Lord is one of those pieces of furniture, and it was burned. There was flame there for a long time through the day, and it was still burning, and Samuel is, it seems, near there somewhere, perhaps even inside that tabernacle, not in the Holy of Holies, but in that the room, the holy place, perhaps. And he maybe has a room off of there somewhere nearby. Perhaps he has some responsibilities with that lamp even late into the night. And then we see the call that came to Samuel before the first vision in verses 4 through 10. See the call that came to Samuel before the first vision of Samuel. Look at verse 4 again. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou calledst me." And he said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." See the call before the first vision. The Lord called Samuel there at night, apparently. And Samuel, what does he do? He thinks that Eli has called him. And Eli's room is somewhere on the premises. And he runs to Eli and to where Eli is, thinking that Eli had called him. Eli tells him, "Go back to sleep. Go lie down again. I didn't call you." And so Samuel goes back to bed. And then the Lord calls the second time. Verse 6, the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." What does Samuel do? He gets up again and he goes to Eli. He thinks that Eli has called him. And Eli says, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." And so Samuel, he goes back. He lies down. And we have this note about Samuel. He did not yet know the Lord. Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. You know, this was the first time. Samuel had never heard from the Lord before. This was the first time that he was hearing personally from the Lord. And I think that we can, even, you know, no matter how old you are, if you're a child or if you're older than that, I think that we should all be able to relate to Samuel here. Because at some point in your life, you were like this. If you know the Lord, even if you've known the Lord for a long time, You started out at some point. You started out to know the Lord. Samuel was to become a great prophet, but he had to come to recognize the Lord's voice. And there's a time in all of our lives where we come to know the Lord and pay attention to His Word. There's a time like that in all of our lives. And there is a time when the Holy Spirit is at work for us today. The Bible says in John 16 that the Spirit is working even in the hearts of unbelievers to convict them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on Christ. And, you know, even for people today, in a similar way, I think there's a time when the Lord begins to work in a person's life. And they begin to sense that they are not believers. And that was true in your life at one time. And you began to realize, I am not a believer. I need to believe on the Lord. And the Lord begins to work in our hearts. The Lord may use your conscience, that system that's built into every person, the Bible tells us. That is that alarm system. And it notifies you that you've done wrong, that you've sinned. And you begin to hear that voice, in a sense, that you're a sinner. And so I think there's a sense in which that all of us have been in a place like this, or all of us will be in a place like this, where the Lord begins to work in a person's life. And I think we also need to see here that when God works in a person's life, He oftentimes does it by using a process. He oftentimes works in a person's life by using a process. See here how Samuel was called several times. And he was already there in the tabernacle serving, and he had already probably learned a great deal before this time. I don't know exactly how old he was here. But God oftentimes uses a process to work in people's lives. There was a gradual recognition of what God was doing here. And I think that's something that God does even today as well. You know, when someone comes to know the Lord as their Savior, they come to faith, there's usually a lot of steps before that. You know, there's usually interactions that they have had with God's Word in some way, the truth, and hearing that, or maybe conversations that they may have had with different people, or different teaching that they've heard in church or on the radio or something like that. There's usually some steps that lead up to that. And we know that's also true with our growth in the Christian life. It's a process. It's a process. And I think we need to acknowledge that in the Scriptures, that God oftentimes uses a process in our lives. Now, we naturally, I think, want to do things more instantaneously. And we would like to see results instantly. And we're not so much interested in the process of growth that takes months and years and time to take place. But God, many times, He doesn't have to do it this way, of course, but He oftentimes uses a process in our lives. Then we come to the third call here. The Lord calls. Samuel's in his bed there. Verse 8, the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. So Eli, after this happens so many times, he begins to realize, okay, something is going on here. Perhaps the Lord is trying to speak to Samuel. And so he begins to give Samuel some instruction here. And the instruction that he gives is in verse 8. "Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go lie down, And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. So Eli's counsel here, notice this. What does he, how does he counsel Samuel? You know, it could have been that Eli, when he realized that God was talking to Samuel, he could have gotten a little bit annoyed that God would be speaking to this boy Samuel and not to the high priest of Israel, Eli. But he realizes that, okay, maybe the Lord is speaking to him. And so he gives him some good advice. You know, Eli is a character that is like most people in the world. There's some good and there's some bad with Eli. But he gives some good advice to Samuel. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That's what he tells Samuel to say. And I believe that's good advice for all of us, no matter how old or young you may be. You know, many times this is a story for children, and it's a great story for children, but it's a story for all of us. It's a true story. And this is advice that we all need to apply to our lives. This is the attitude that we need to have towards the Lord, even today. We need to put ourselves in the position of a servant. That's what Eli said that Samuel needed to do. He needed to say to the Lord, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. We need to put ourselves in the position of a servant. What does a servant do? Well, the servant obeys the orders of the master. The servant is not the master. The servant is the servant. And we are all servants of the Lord. We need to have an attitude of a servant. We are not the master. The Lord is the master. And we need to come to the Lord and just acknowledge our position. It's not master. It's servant. And no matter what age you are, you need to have this attitude. It is an attitude, a servant attitude. And I think this prayer to the Lord is something that is very important. I think we ought to somehow frame that and post it in our church and in our home, and so that every day we could see this. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. If we were to start each day and just remind ourselves of that, that would be wonderful. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. It would help us to remember who we are to be, servants. And we also need to prepare ourselves to listen to God. Samuel was to say, Thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. You know, we can have a Bible open even here tonight. We can be in church. We can be at our homes and have a Bible open. And yet we're not really hearing the Lord. We can have it all set up, but not be prepared to hear. How can we prepare ourselves to listen to God? You know, many times I think that means removing the distractions that we have in our life. We've got a lot of distractions that really get in the way of hearing God from His Word. We need to remove the distractions. We need to be still before God. We maybe need to write down notes of what we read from God's Word and what impresses us about what we hear preached to us or what we read in the Bible when we come to church. We could pray this prayer before we read the Bible. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I think that would be a good prayer for all of us to pray every day when we read the Bible. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. It's not just for a little boy, a little girl. It's for all of us. And so we come to the message of the vision here in verses 10 through 14. God calls a fourth time. Samuel does as Eli has told him. He goes back to bed and the Lord calls again. The Lord came, verse 10, and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." So Samuel says to the Lord, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord does speak to him. And he hears what the Lord has to say. Notice the contents of this message of the vision here. Notice that it was a message that was to give to someone else. This is Samuel's first vision. Samuel's going to be a prophet. And then here is the very first vision, the very first word that the Lord gives to Samuel as a child, as a boy. What's it going to be? Well, it's not about Samuel. It's not about, here's what you're going to be, Samuel, someday. You're going to be a great prophet. No, it's a message that he has to give to somebody else. That's what the message is. It wasn't about him. It wasn't about his own future and fortune. He was to be a messenger with the message. The message that God has for you in His Word many times is a message you need to give to somebody else too. God speaks to you through His Word. He shows you something. It's often something you need to take to somebody else. God often works that way. And notice it was a message about sin. It was a message about sin. Verse 13, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not." It was a message about sin. This wasn't a surprise to Eli. This wasn't a message about sin that Eli didn't know about. This was a message about sin that Eli did know about. And God wanted Samuel to tell him this, that Eli hadn't done enough about this sin. He did not restrain his sons for the iniquity that he knew was going on. You know, that's a message that is especially for leaders and especially parents. You know, it's the job of us as parents to deal with the people under our care and not let them get away with sin. Not let them get away with sin. We're not loving people when we let them get away with sin. And when we let them get away with sin, we sin ourselves. That's the message that Samuel had to give to Eli. And it was a message about judgment as well. God was going to judge the house of Eli. Verse 14, "And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." God was going to judge. This was not something that could be atoned for. It seemed that the penalty for this was going to be death. God was done with this. God was going to deal with this. And then we see the delivery of this message here. The delivery of this message, verse 15. "Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, 'Samuel, my son.' He answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. The delivery of this message. Samuel's afraid. He was lying there at his bed, and God had given him this message, and he's afraid to tell Eli this. This is a message about Eli's sin. But Samuel gives the message to Eli. Eli, to his credit, he wanted to know what it was. And Eli's response is that he accepted it. He accepted, I don't believe it was a sentence of eternal punishment, but one of a removal of privilege, a removal of Eli from privilege. And he accepted that. Just like Samuel delivered God's message, we need to give all of God's message and not backpedal certain parts of it. The Apostle Paul, when he ministered at Ephesus and he said goodbye to the Ephesian elders, he told them that he had given them the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. He hadn't drawn back on any part of God's counsel to give to that church. You know, there may be parts of God's message that will offend. We don't want to offend many times, but there is an offense. Paul talked about the offense of the cross in Galatians chapter 5. There is an offense of the cross. Jesus said many times that the world is going to hate you. The world is going to hate you. We shouldn't try to be offensive as we give God's message, but there is going to be parts of God's message that causes offense. And the temptation is to not give those parts of God's message. And, you know, today that may be speaking about certain sins and saying what those sins are, even to people who are practicing those sins. And in our world today, the sins are normalized. And, you know, we're getting to the point where if we call them sins, we are haters. We are the problem if we call them sins. And there's this pressure to backpedal on what sin is. It may be speaking about hell and eternal punishment. You know, that's oftentimes something that people don't want to hear about eternal punishment. We don't want to hear about hell. And there's pressure that we have not to kind of shy away from that and not warn people about that. But we have to give the whole counsel of God. And then I want you to think about Eli here. He has to hear this message from Samuel, from the Lord. Samuel has to give it. We need to accept the truth of God even when it hurts. You know, Eli had a message that hurt. It was a message about his own failure. And it was painful. But you got to hand it to Eli here for his response. He says, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. We need to accept the truth of God even when it hurts. He accepted what God said. Eli was still eager to hear a message from God, even though it was a painful one. And I believe that's a good example. And we need to be willing to hear a message from God, even if it hurts. We need to be willing to hear it. So we've got to hand it to Eli. And then we come to the results of this first vision, the aftermath of it, verses 19 through 21. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. See that God honored Samuel. He honored him with physical growth. Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. Whenever that takes place in a person's life, that's the Lord at work. The Lord is helping them to grow and to mature, and even physically. And he honored him with more revelations of God's word. He spoke to him again, and Samuel was used as a prophet. And he honored him by fulfilling the word that he gave to him. Perhaps that's the idea of none of his words falling to the ground. The things that Samuel said, the messages that Samuel communicated came true. They were fulfilled. And we see that Israel came to honor Samuel. All Israel from Dan, even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Samuel gained a reputation as a prophet. Perhaps as people visited Shiloh here at the tabernacle, more and more they began to see Samuel is somebody that we need to listen to. Samuel has a God's word. Samuel has a message we need to hear. And here is Samuel at the tabernacle. You know, people used to come and maybe hear Eli. And now people are coming and recognizing that Samuel is a prophet of God to be heard and paid attention to. So we see Samuel's preparation here, his service in the tabernacle, his attitude. At some point here, Samuel surrendered himself to the Lord. Samuel accepted this advice from Eli and made this prayer, the prayer of his own heart, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." That was all part of his preparation for this position as a prophet and this foundation that he had for his future ministry. So we see here in this chapter the very first vision. You know, last week we saw how bleak things were looking at Shiloh for the tabernacle worship there in Israel. It was corrupt worship. But we see here that God was at work preparing His servant. God was preparing His servant. He was raising up another man to be a witness for Himself, to be a prophet, to speak His word. And that shows that we can trust the Lord. We can trust Him to call people, to call men, to speak His truth. Even in the future, if the Lord would tarry, God is able to raise up His servants. And perhaps the Lord is even doing that right now. Perhaps He's speaking to a boy, to a girl. The Holy Spirit is working in their hearts. We want to see the instant results. We want to see the servants of the Lord appear. And sometimes the Lord can do that. But it seems that more often the Lord works gradually over periods of time, working in people's hearts and preparing them for His ministry in the future. But I trust that this prayer will be the prayer of our hearts, that we can every day say to the Lord, "Speak, for your servant heareth." That needs to be the prayer that we pray each day. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, help us to have the attitude here that Samuel had as a boy. We need it, all of us, as adults too. We are your servants. Help us to have that humble attitude in our hearts. And Lord, we want to hear from you. And so help us to pay attention. We have so many distractions in our life. Lord, you know that. And so we pray that you would help us to listen to you, to focus on what you're saying to us. And Lord, we thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that we can trust you to raise up your servants. We pray that you would do that even here. Help us to be your servants, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.